T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Hour. It's Christian Arcan. It's Megan Ottolini. Your phone number 617-779-7937. Boston Celtics with a big win last night. So the Bruins had a nice win too. I'm frustrated with these teams right now. Not because they're not playing well. They're playing too well. It's not, you run out of ways to say they're awesome, you know, like especially the Bruins, especially. The Celtics have had a couple of, you know, kinks in the armor this year. They had that one stretch the last time they played Golden State. They lost 5 out of their next 6. And you could pick a couple of things apart there. They've righted the ship since then. The Bruins never freaking lose ever, except randomly to the Kraken. Like, you know, once a month, maybe the Bruins
one
will lose a game.
Flat game in 2023 so far.
That's it. And the Celtics just keep on rolling. And this was a big one for them. You know, that was a big, important win for them in a game that didn't go their way. It was kind of an ugly game. It was not a pretty game for the Warriors, to be sure. And the Celtics, from Jason Tatum to Jaylen Brown all the way on down, basically everybody except Al Horford having a hard time finding their offense. And despite that, despite the fact that it was more of a rock fight than the normal games these Celtics play, they were able to come away with a hard-fought, well-deserved win. And they beat Golden State in overtime with heart and grit because they weren't doing it with their jump shot. You know, I mean, it wasn't going down like that. It was not a pretty game. These Celtics, and that was a concern I had, is that they only really win when they're winning these pretty games. They got Golden State in here. Game with a lot of emotion, certainly, and you can listen to Jason Tatum say, I was just like any other game. You know it wasn't. You know that it wasn't. You know this was an important game for them and that they had it circled on their calendar for a long time, and they won. I mean, it wasn't pretty, but they won, and they won despite missing a lot of shots, despite good defensive effort there from Golden State, and despite a ton of sloppy turnovers. All of that they were able to overcome and still win this game.
That was my big takeaway as well. And I wrote about this for WEEI.com, a really, really compelling website if you haven't visited it in terms of reading columns.
Maybe on the whole internet.
Yeah. I was at the game last night, and Fourier actually got mad at me about this because I was texting him this morning, and I said this is a really ugly, like just an incredibly ugly statement win. And he's like, statement win? It's not a statement win. And I think it is.
I think it is a statement
because
win.
This is absolutely
you're
a
wrong,
game.
Foyer.
Yeah, it's a game you would have lost last spring. Absolutely. Last June, you lose this game. Because there is this, when we talk about the depth to this team, or when I talk about the depth to this team, I'm not talking about the A-man rotation or how Peyton Pritchard is so good he could be, you know, a seventh man somewhere else and instead he's buried on the bench. But hi, Foyer. That threw me off. I haven't heard that voice in a while.
I'm sorry.
I'm talking about, like, the different ways that they can win. And I was thinking back to the first game of the finals in June. And after that Celtics win, how Draymond Green was reading out the stats of who was making the shots.
Very
being
dismissive.
Derek White and Al Horford. And he said, okay, something along the lines of, I don't think they're going to do that again. And at the time, everybody, whoa, the disrespect for the role players. Al Horford, he's been great all through the playoffs. Derek White, new dad strength. Everybody was talking about that. Well, he was kind of right because they couldn't replicate that. What they did last night was so ugly and I hate to say gritty because it sounds so dumb, But it's true. Yeah. It was. Like, Tatum and between Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they could not hit anything. Nothing was falling for them. They were 5 for 24 with 4 minutes left in the third quarter. They were shooting horribly. And you can say it's like a mental block that they have with Golden State or whatever. Tatum played the entire second half. He played the entire overtime. He nabbed 19 rebounds. So he left it all out there. Like, would like him to get over that mental block for sure. Would like him not to throw a dumb pass at the very end of regulation that gets picked off by Wiggins and returned to the other side of the court for basket for the Warriors. Would like that. But I'm not going to hate on the guy because you can't knock the hustle. And if they can win that way, they can replicate that win. They can.
Yeah, I think so. I think that what the main thing people are missing about this game is that if the Celtics had gone out and hit all their shots and shot 60% from three and won like 145 to 110 or something, that wouldn't have really taught me anything.
No, you'd be like, wow, what a great night for the Celtics.
I know that the Celtics can win games like that. They've been winning games like that all year. I didn't know that they could win these kind of games. I didn't know that this was in their repertoire, especially against a team like Golden State. This hasn't been the easiest go for them, if you haven't noticed. Golden State beat them earlier in the year, and they still have this thing in their head from the finals last year, as they should, by the way. They should still have that in their head. And that was clear, I think, right away, that this is not going to be an easy one, even though Golden State can't beat anybody outside of the Bay Area this year. It still wasn't going to be easy. But the Celtics, when they're hitting their shots and, you know, Tatum's blowing kisses and Brogdon's, you know, breakdancing and everybody's doing what they're doing. Yeah, I know that they can beat anybody when they play like that. I don't know that they could win games when they're having an off night against a team like Golden State, even, you know, Golden State on the road. This taught me more about this team, and I think it has me feeling better about this team than it would have if they had had like a statement blowout win. I don't think that would have really shown me anything. That's, you know, they can win games like that. We know that already.
Especially, and I don't know, maybe we're going too far in the other direction, but the Warriors are awful on the road this season so far. Like, they are awful. So if they had just stomped them, it's like, okay, you did with it. It's just the Warriors on the road. Look what they did to you at home. Yeah, you didn't have Al Horford and Rob Williams when you saw the Warriors in the Bay, but, like, look at them out here. I don't know. I do feel like I learned more about this team last night, and that I think that there's a maturity there. There's an ability to bounce back from the mistakes that they make that they didn't have last year and that they certainly didn't have the years before that. And so they showed me something. I do think it's a statement win. I don't know. I came away going, that was a super fun game. It was a super ugly game. And I'm still impressed by Tatum because of what he left out there. 48 minutes. Like, 48 minutes. That's insane. Just being able to do that in the NBA cardio-wise is nuts. Al Horford coming out and setting the tone the way that he did, playing playoff defense, chasing down a block. Like, I understand he had 2 days off before. Jason Tatum, I believe, was joking about how... Do we have this, Ryan? Jason Tatum was joking about how he wanted Al Horford to have a little more time off. Ryan? Yep, you're grabbing it. Ryan?
You know, I joked with Al. He came out and looked like he was 25 today. 2 days off. I said he need more 2 days in a row. Because he came out and set the tone. He really did. And we all kind of followed behind that the rest of the night. So, you know, Al was big for us the whole game. Hit the big three late. But just the way he started, you know, kind of set the tone for us the rest of the game.
Yeah. I mean, we had a caller call in earlier who said, like, I want Jason Tatum setting the tone for the game. Mm-hmm. I want Jaylen Brown setting the tone for the game. Jaylen Brown saved the game.
He did.
Jaylen Brown, like, just flipped the switch in the fourth quarter and found something where he just drove to the basket and he didn't do the thing where he drives through three or four different people and then coughs the ball up.
Right.
Which I guess, according to Jared Weiss from The Athletic, we talked to him earlier. If you missed it, check it out on the Odyssey app. He told us essentially we just have to live with that.
I'm not an ambi-turner. I can't turn left.
It's true. Jaylen Brown cannot go left. They were talking about that on the Warriors bench last night, apparently.
Yes.
Like, I just got to, hey, just like the finals, just force him left. But he was able to go essentially straight on and dunk. So he had that.
I'm not an ambi-turner.
One thing we talked about with Jared Weiss was load management. And this from the Celtics about 30 minutes ago. Injury report for tomorrow in Toronto against the Toronto Raptors. Gallinari out. Jason Tatum out. Jason Tatum will sit that game out with left wrist soreness. This seems to me like about load management to the extreme. I mean, maybe he's got a sore wrist, maybe he doesn't, I don't know, but I'm fine with that, and I think that this is something that the Celtics are going to have to start really thinking about here going forward is how do you preserve these guys? How do you preserve Tatum and Brown, especially Brown now is dealing with something. He's
the
back.
Adductor.
The adductor, you know, the thigh there. He played well last night down the stretch, but he was having an awful shooting game up to that. The first three quarters, I think he was like 1-for-9 from the field. Not his best game, to
be sure.
5-for-24. Yeah.
Until the very end of the third quarter between your two stars.
Yeah, they were not hitting their shots. And Jason Tatum, I mean, listen, you can give him as many days off as you need. This team has built up enough of a lead, and I think got enough of a maybe not enough of a lead to like hold on to and rest all their guys for the rest of the year. Of course, not that, but I feel like they've established themselves. They're the class of the NBA. They're definitely the class of the Eastern Conference. There's no doubt about that right now. So, yeah, rest, guys. Be at 100% when the playoffs come around. Don't run out of gas again. That's got to be priority number one here.
I do want to talk about this, about the Tatum mental game here.
Okay.
This was him in postgame talking about looking forward to this Warriors game just as another game in the league. And I feel like even just the way he talks about this, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Just listen and then we'll discuss.
You know, just trying to put the past behind us, right? Tip our hat off to them. They won the championship. They beat us. You know, all those things. It's a new season, right? There's nothing we could do about that. This win doesn't avenge last playoffs. And a loss wouldn't have made it any worse, right? It's a regular season game. We've played them twice now, and if we see them later down the road, you know, we see them. It's a good team win from the aspect that we're just figuring it out. But now, you know, just move on to the next one.
It's a Thursday, and we're playing against a really good team. You know, rematch of the finals, anything like that. Not make it bigger than anything it is. It's one game. They all count as one. And I think we learned from that early in December, playing against them, and you know, just came out a little bit more relaxed today.
I don't believe any of that. I think he's doing the Brady thing, like, what is it, 90% of the time I'm at the podium, I'm lying?
They
like,
all count as one.
He even says in there, if we had lost, like, that wouldn't be something along the lines of, like, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. It would have been a big deal.
It would have.
If you got swept by the team that took the championship from you in the regular season, that would have been a big deal.
Especially
what I say versus what I think are two totally different things.
Of course.
I would say 90% of what I say is probably not what I'm thinking.
I would
they
say
all count as one.
That would have been a massive deal, especially if Brown hadn't sunk that three-pointer after Tatum threw that awful pass that
he
got picked off by Wiggins.
He would have been a goat.
Oh, my God. The goat in a bad way.
The goat in a bad way,
yeah.
Yes.
The way that
like
we used to talk
horns.
About the goat.
Right,
yeah.
And he would have deserved it because he tried to give that game away. And, you know, for all the efforts and everything, I mean, he played a good game, obviously, with 19 rebounds and 30 whatever points. He was important. He was a huge factor, and he sort of bullied his way into a lot of those points. But if Brown hadn't made that three, we'd be having a very different conversation about Jason Tatum today. And I think that, you know, that's why winning's so important. That's why winning ugly games is so important. It covers up everything. Winning's the ultimate deodorant, you know? No matter what foul odors there may be, coming from Jason Tatum and the turnovers or the bad shooting or whatever, you won the game. You beat him, all right? You killed the boogeyman until you have to see him again, which this year you probably won't. Let's be honest here. I don't know if the Warriors are going to be advancing to the NBA Finals this season, although stranger things have happened. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We'll get to your phone call right after Trending here with Ryan Garvin.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it on WEEI.
WEEI, Christian Arcan, Megan Ottolini here with you until 6 o'clock. Phone number 617-779-7937. One thing bothered me about the game last night, and it had nothing to do with Jason Tatum and the turnovers or missing the shots or anything really that even happened on the court. What bothered me happened before the opening tip-off.
Was it the traffic?
Partially, yes.
Okay. Because it seems to be an issue for everyone. Jaylen Brown and I both had the same issue trying to get to that godforsaken game.
Yeah. It took Jaylen Brown 2 hours to get 15 minutes, he said. And I believe it.
I believe it because it took me over an hour to get from here to there.
So when I say the traffic is partially what is upsetting me, it is because in the player intros, they introed Draymond Green and there was not even a dull roar of boos for him. It's like crickets. And the reason why is because no one was in their seats yet because there was so much traffic, no one was there. And that's part of it, obviously. But I think even if it had been a full house for player intros, just based on the way the rest of the game went and sort of what the atmosphere seemed like on my TV, you were there, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong here. It seemed muted. It seemed like there wasn't really that much distaste and anger sort of built up for this team that not only beat you and beat you bad in the finals last year, but beat you again in California a couple of weeks ago. And in between all of these beatings have kind of been shaking their ass in your face like the entire time. Really, like Draymond Green, Steph, Steve Kerr, all those classy Boston fans, like they've kind of enjoyed this. They've reveled in it. They like that they beat you. They like that they beat us. Like, that's part of what made it so enjoyable for them. It wasn't like beating LeBron and the Cavs. No, no, no. We beat Boston. We beat the whole city. We beat them all. Like, they like each
evil
other players.
Evil Boston.
We beat evil Boston. And for whatever reason, I think it's probably the traffic, I just felt like that. And maybe everybody just read John Tomasi and said, you know what? We should all grow up, you know?
Thanks, Tomasi.
John Tomasi.
Good job, Boston.
This is John Tomasi Celtics.
I know.
How do you like it?
Hashtag.
Oh, Draymond Green's coming out? Yay!
Sorry.
Hashtag not
Thanks,
my Celtics.
Tomasi.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Way to go. Anyways, it
Michelle
seems like
Michelle Wu's traffic. John Tomasi's Celtics.
Like, I know,
really nice.
We're going really over the top about the traffic, but the thing that they said on the broadcast last night, Chris Haynes said that the Celtics have the city of Boston put in a bid for, I believe it was the 2026 All-Star Game.
Sure.
How does last night indicate that this city is capable of handling anything? You're barely capable of doing a Bars road race, for God's sakes. You want to bring the All-Star Game here when it takes Jaylen Brown 15 minutes or 22 hours to get somewhere? It would take him 15 minutes. You're going to put a bid in? Let's get the roads fixed first before we start hosting All-Star Games.
I was driving down Causeway Street, and if you want to know my whole journey, I opened the show with it. But it was a journey to get to the Celtics game last night.
My journey.
There was a point when I went to the second parking garage and it was full, and I was stuck on Causeway. Like, I couldn't move. My car couldn't move. There was a fire truck that was pulled across the road, and there were just people flooding the streets. It was like an apocalyptic event. And I almost called Ken to be like, Ken, I am here. Like, I am in front of the garden, but I have nowhere to put my car. I'm in such a bad mood. I don't even want to go. I was very happy I was there, but yeah. I totally off track this, though. Talk more about Draymond.
Draymond Green is the last villain, right? He's the last villain the Celtics have. Well, my whole life, there was always a villain. There was always someone. As a Celtics fan, there was always a villain that you could hate. And it was so great, you know, from the old Pistons to Magic and the Lakers, and then, you know, in the Nets with Kenyon Martin and Jason Kidd and all those teams, and then LeBron all those years. And
whoa, 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 whoa. I think you're forgetting someone.
Who am I forgetting?
Kyrie.
And Kyrie. I didn't get to
That's
him yet,
a big
but yeah,
villain.
Kyrie, sure. I wasn't at that part of the timeline yet. There's hope for villains yet,
but Kyrie's still there.
Kyrie's still there.
Nets can't do a damn thing without Kevin Durant.
True.
They've proven that. But when Kevin Durant comes back, maybe they'll make a nice little run. Hey, maybe it'll be Nets-Celtics somehow in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
And then you get double burns Kyrie.
I don't know. I don't even feel like that's a rivalry anymore. The Celtics own them.
Yeah, well,
it's true.
Celtics destroy them every time they play them.
Not only do the Celtics own the Nets, but, I mean, your star, your MVP candidate is Biffles with the number one enemy on the team. I mean,
it was
easier to root against the Lakers because you knew Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and all those guys, Kendrick Perkins, wanted, you know, no hugs, no daps from Pau Gasol and Kobe Bryant. I'm not saying, oh, it's the AAU culture. But with the Nets specifically, there's no way. I think the closest you're going to get is maybe Jimmy Butler, and I feel like he kind of leans into that role a little bit, wearing the black hat, so to speak.
Yeah, I agree.
Jimmy Butler's like a villain to his own coach, though.
I know.
He's just kind of, I love Jimmy Butler.
He's a different bird, and I like him for it.
He's just out there.
Draymond's a villain to his own teammates. Draymond clocked his teammate in practice this year. I mean, like, you know, being a villain, there's sort of that part that accompanies it, I guess. And with Kyrie, it's different, obviously. He's, you know, a whole mess of things with him. But I look at the Nets and I think, you know, probably the same way the Yankees looked at the Red Sox every year until 2004. That's how I look at them now.
You guys are so cute. You'll get there next. Oh, yes, you will. Yes, you will, little Red Sox. Exactly.
Yeah. Kyrie, Kevin Durant,
Baby Tocanal.
You know who wants to be the villain?
Who that?
Joel Embiid. Embiid, like, I remember a couple years ago during, it might have been 2018, that run, 2017, 2018, Embiid would come in here and try to, like, talk so much trash about how the Boston crowd wasn't very loud and this and that. But it's like the Sixers are just not a threat. They're just not. So, again, maybe it's just Boston is too good to have a villain against.
I don't like that.
Why?
I just don't like that whole thing. Like,
you're in rare air.
They're too good. What, the 86 Celtics? They were pretty good, too. And they had rivals and they were villains. You know, like, I feel like it's an attitude thing now. You know, like now the attitude is sort of, well, you know, like no one deserves to be rivals with the Celtics.
But
it could come out of nowhere.
Like, remember during the Bridgie Celtics? I don't remember which year it was, when it was Celtics Wizards. Was that like 2012?
That was a good one, and everybody was
dressing for the funeral.
Battle
and
of
stuff.
The Kellys.
It was like really dorky, but it was really fun.
That was like
2017,
right?
No, I think that was like 2012, 2013. That was a long
Kelly
time
Kelly Olynyk
ago,
was on that team because I remember he flattened
Kelly
Oubre.
Yeah, with Isaiah
Oubre.
Thomas where his tooth got knocked out?
Yeah. That was a long time ago.
That wasn't 2017?
Hell no. That Kyrie was on that 2017 team.
It was 2017.
It was 2017?
Yeah, it was 2017.
What's wrong with me?
I don't know.
I think my brain just broke.
Too many bugs are in your food.
Yeah, right. You've been eating too many fig bugs. That's the problem. They're eating your brain.
Oh, my
now.
God.
It does see it. Five
Scratch
years ago
that.
Is a long
that
time ago.
That didn't happen.
It did. It just didn't happen when
the
you said
Celtics
it did.
Were ass in 2012, I think. But that might have been the year they got knocked out by the New York Knicks. Chauncey Billups and Carmelo Anthony.
You're right.
I remember that.
I remember that. Stoudemire.
They were bad that year, yeah.
Or like the little bit of time where I hated Kendrick Perkins when he played for the Cavaliers because he was just cold clocking everybody. I think he knocked out Jay Crowder with an elbow. It's the same thing. It's just, I don't know if it's that the players on the Celtics seem a little easygoing. If you're not going to get that tiff that you want to see like you saw with Kelly Oubre and Kelly Olynyk, or if it's just there's not enough guys like that. Like a guy like Joel Embiid, who really does seem like he wants to stir some you-know-what up, and it's just, they're not enough of those guys in basketball right now, at least playing for good teams.
Draymond was fully hated last June.
Yeah.
Like, fully hated. So it might just be the circumstance of the calendar. January. Everybody's depressed because the Patriots didn't even make the playoffs.
I've seen a gray sky for 27 consecutive days, and I just don't have the energy to boo Draymond when I see him.
That's soft. I'm sorry, Celtics fans. That's a little soft. I understand it took a while to get in there, and you didn't get your full, you know, pregame rituals going, I'm sure, that, you know, everybody counts on before they go into a game. But that doesn't excuse the lack of anger last night. That doesn't excuse the lack of passion. I think Celtics fans need, some kind of spark. I don't know what it is exactly. But don't get too comfortable.
You need someone to cheap shot one of your stars.
Well, I don't want that to happen. But I do think that Celtics fans, you're acting like this team's won like three championships in a row. That's
it's
sort of what's
true.
Annoying.
You're there acting is like a little entitlement here.
This air of,
there's
wow, we're
comfort.
So good and we're so, you know, we these other teams don't deserve. You haven't won anything. You haven't. Well, you got embarrassed last year in the finals, and you got embarrassed in the years prior to that, too. You still have a lot to prove. This has been a great regular season so far, no question about it. But Celtics fans and team and the team, and Tatum, to his credit, is trying to sort of keep the, you know, keep the passion and excitement up every night like it's the same thing. But there's a target on your back this year. You're considered the best team in the league, and you're playing like it, but you haven't won anything yet.
Our team has been to the Final Four 3 of the last 4 years with.
No, that era is over. The Final Four. The Final Four in the NBA. I think that era is done.
Yeah, probably. What is upsetting about that, and just to cross sports here real quick, in the NFL right now, speaking of rivalries and, you know, anger and fan bases and stuff like that, the NFL right now is considering something that I think might be the dumbest thing ever. Mike Florio was writing about this today. He says the evidence is hiding in plain sight with a potential AFC championship in Atlanta between the Bills and the Chiefs derailed as soon as tomorrow. The league wants everyone to know in the event that both teams don't win this weekend, it would have been awesome. In other words, it will be awesome when we vote to play both conference championships at a neutral site. The foundation is further being put in place for the NFL's next strategy for cramming even more cheese into the crust of the pizza and for squeezing more golden eggs from the goose's ass.
I don't like those being in the same sentence.
I'm with analogies. It. I like it.
It doesn't feel like an if. It seems like a when. And if the Bills and Chiefs meet in Atlanta and it goes as well as the NFL hopes, it could start as soon as next year. I got to tell you, for all the mistakes the NFL makes on big things, domestic violence, child abuse, you know, like they screw up a lot.
The off-field stuff is rough. On the track record.
They're horrible. I mean, really, they have a horrible record when it comes to stuff
like
that.
I always believe that the NFL does the right thing at
the end
of the
day. Shut up, Roger. Just shut up. They usually get stuff like this right. Usually, I feel like they get the fans and sort of the excitement, you know, like the whole thing with the cities and the arena.
They understand at the game what the fans want.
They get that.
They get what the product, how the product sells.
Both conference championships at neutral sites?
Idiotic.
I mean, are you serious? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Super Bowl light.
You're taking away a potential conference championship game at Arrowhead, at Gillette, at Orchard Park,
Hell, in Seattle?
Seattle, Philly, like, you know what I mean? Like, these teams, you're going to take that away from those fans, that arena and that neighborhood and everything? Like, why would you do that?
Green Bay?
That's preposterous to me. You think Lambeau, those fans want to not go to Lambeau? They'd rather go to Atlanta or Dallas or what? Like, what are you talking about?
That people don't want to watch Lambeau?
Of course people do. That's a big part of it. It's home field advantage. The reason why it's called that. And it's baked into the betting lines and sort of everything else. So get ready for that too, by the way, NFL. You know, all of a sudden now, you're going to have all these wise guys all pissed off at you because no one's got a home field advantage in the conference championships anymore. But really, are they that strapped? Like, are they losing money? Do they need to? I can't fathom how this made it past like a pitch. You know what I mean? Like, someone pitched this to Roger, and Roger's like, "No, we're not doing that." Like, it clearly got past that level. If it's being talked about, it's being written about like this. People in rooms somewhere all took a vote and said, "Yeah, I think this is a great idea." Like, this is maybe one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. The idea of making all of the conference championship games neutral site games. What are you talking about?
It would be such a mistake, and it would be so strange to do it now after one team had it so many years in their home field.
Yeah.
After you had it at Gillette so many years. Like, that Roger now, that. When it's just a little bit, you know, I mean, it's not completely unpredictable, but it's not like it's in the same place every year.
Yeah.
At least in one conference. And it's like, well, let's see if we can go take it to Indianapolis. To Atlanta. Like, is it? I don't. It would definitely be dome cities, right?
You would think so.
Yeah.
You would think so. They wouldn't.
Again, it's just, it's sanitizing. It would be
problems,
sanitizing
yeah.
so much and taking so much of the, like, organic nature of that game out of it. And it's also something that you play for.
Yeah.
Like when we talk about things, when it comes down to the wire at the end of the season and the really good teams, what are the really good teams playing for? Like the NFL has to consider that, that when you're in weeks 15, 16, 17, that you're looking at, oh, are they going to rest their players? Is this just going to be a throwaway game? Is some crappy team going to sneak into the playoffs because the good team that they were scheduled almost a year ago to play is now resting their players because they have nothing to play for? Like between the buys and adding in another team and adding in another week and then adding in, okay, a neutral site, like just stop messing with it. Why do you have
to win the game?
Why do you have to like squeeze every possible dollar out of it?
Well, I think we know why.
I know, but it's just like, I don't know. At some point, things like this come back to bite you. I do think they do.
I think this would be a bridge too far for a lot of fan bases. But let's be honest here. It's only really going to affect one team, right? And all the other teams are going to either be playing at a neutral site when they would have been on the road. And so that's fine for them. And the rest of the teams don't care because they're not in the conference championships. We thought all these changes were going to be big problems. Having a 17th week, that's not going to work. Having another wild card team, that's ridiculous. They do it, and they keep on chuffed. To the NFL's credit, they make these decisions. They're definitive, and they do it, and that's the way it is. And sort of, you know, they move on, and that's just sort of the new reality. And they've done a pretty good job, I think, in the past of implementing these things and just making them the norm. This, though, this, I feel like, is going to be too unpopular. An extra wild card team that, you know, could make one fan base happier. The extra game. No one who watches these games really cares that much about it. Maybe the players do. This is going to alienate a lot of fans. I feel like this one's going to get way too much negative feedback. And I always thought that the NFL, for all their problems, when it came to actual football, was more PR conscious than this. I'm surprised. This seems like a big whiff on their part.
Can we talk about this Schefter tweet?
Yes.
From, was this today? Was it this morning? Yeah, it was early
this morning.
So Schefter tweeted out, more than 50,000 tickets were purchased by Bills and Chiefs season ticket holders in the first 24 hours they were for sale for the, if needed, neutral site AFC championship game. Bills fans would be seated on their side of the field and Chiefs fans on the other. That's weird.
Cool.
That's really weird in every way. Like, what is this, a wedding?
Boy.
Oh, yes, this is the Chiefs side. This is the Bills side. Also, the Bengals are sitting there like,
what happens if a Bills fan goes to the Chiefs side? Where they get kicked out? They get, like, removed from the game? Excuse me, Bills fans, Bills fan
or
over here.
What about this? Like, you go in and you're wearing... Also, if you scalp a ticket from somebody.
Right.
So if you scalp a ticket from somebody, then do you have to wear like a Bills shirt over your Chiefs shirt and you get over to that side and then when the game starts, you rip that shirt off and you have your jersey underneath and you're like, ha-ha, I have tricked you.
They quiz you when you walk in, like when you take a flight, like did you pack your bag? Does anyone else find your possession in your bag?
Do they still do that?
Are you a
airport?
Buffalo Bills fan? Are you sure? Like, I don't know. I don't think so. I barely ever bring a bag anyway. I just bring a carry-on when I fly most of the time. So,
well, you still have to go through security.
You do have to go through security, but it's usually when they ask you about the bag, it's when you're at the gate, you know?
I feel like they only do that
in
customs
now. At the desk. Is that right?
Yeah, and I always am, like, nervous because they'll ask the most bizarre things at customs.
Did anybody else pack your bag?
Like, yeah, I'm like,
yes, my bag.
After you packed your bag, have you been with it in at least the last 36 hours? I don't know how to answer that.
I have.
Or they're like, have you come into contact with any farm animals? And I'm like, did I? I'm like, no. When did I come into contact with? I was in Paris. Why would I come into contact with farm animals? But you have to stop and think. Do you want to take a call here?
Did they think maybe you took a farm animal on the plane?
What? No.
Then why did they ask you that?
You've never gotten that question at customs?
No, I asked, do you have like any like food that you brought over? Not if you touched any animals.
Oh. You make it sound so weird. It's one of the questions they ask.
Monsieur, when you were in France.
Like, are you bringing any organic products? Did you come into contact with any farm animals?
I'm bringing my therapy dinosaur.
there you go. Very good. Let's go to the phone. 617-779-7937. Mike's in Springfield. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you tonight?
Not bad, Mike. How you doing?
I can't complain, but there's no way this could ever possibly work. I mean, the owners are going to end up losing money, and the NFL will lose money. Because it's going to be like the NBA. They're going to rest players in week 17 and 18, right? If home field doesn't matter, right? Or no, am I crazy?
No, Mike, I think you're right. I think the NFL may be looking at what happened here with this Bills-Chiefs thing and thinking, wow, look at that. 50,000 tickets got purchased in the first 24 hours. This was like a freaky, weird situation this year. This wasn't the norm. A player died on the field basically and got brought back to life, and that cut the schedule down for two of the teams. Like, that's why you have to even consider this. It's not because, you know, oh God, we were really thinking about neutral site conference championships all this time.
You don't think that there wasn't a single NFL executive before the DeMar Hamlin incident? It's like, oh, you know what we should really think about? We should start thinking about neutral site AFC and NFC championship games.
I feel like they would have gotten laughed right out of the meeting
if
they did.
It's Super Bowl Junior.
I mean, the last, you look at the AFC championships alone, the last 4 years, it's been Arrowhead Stadium. All people rave about how crazy it is. And we spent like 4 days, you know, with Patriots Chiefs talk about what the weather's going to be out there. And even before that, I mean, Mile High Stadium with the Broncos, Gillette, Heinz Field. Those have been all your teams that are hosting these AFC championship games. I know I roll my eyes when people romanticize the tough and gritty nature of the NFL, but if you're just going to sit there and it's going to be a perfectly clean game in a dome in Indianapolis or Atlanta, blech, no thank you.
Super Bowl, fine. Conference championship, no. Like, no. And it's ridiculous that they even suggested it and that they're talking about it so seriously. I think this one's going to be DOA. I think they're going to get too much feedback from these cities and these towns and these fans, and it's just going to, they're going to bail on this one. I hope so.
Come on, let's go, Viking fans.
Shut up, Roger. All right, 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We'll come back and wrap it next here on Sports Radio WEEI.
This is WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Sports Radio WEEI. Christian Arcan, Megan Ottolini. We'll get to the almost end of the show in just a minute here, but I'm just sort of realizing, I was listening to Ryan's trending earlier in the show. There's no games. There's nothing going on tonight.
Nope.
It's Friday night. No Bruins. There's no Celtics. There's no football. It's nothing. I'm like a little bummed out about that, you know?
You might have to have a social life.
No. I have a baby. That's not happening. And even when there's something social to do, you go out to a bar, game's on, you know? What am I going to watch at the bar now?
Talk to your wife.
Oh, please.
You guys could watch a movie.
You're out of your mind.
You know what you should do?
You think my wife wants to talk to me?
Yeah. I haven't gotten to meet your wife yet. I get to meet everybody else's wives.
That's true. My wife said she doesn't want to meet you.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, why would you?
My wife and Jones's wife are internet friends. Haven't met in real life, but they are like very good internet friends.
I can't believe they haven't met in real life. I mean, I understand you guys did nights for a while, but that's like kind of surprising to me.
Jones and I only ever hung out one time in the 5 year, like hung out outside of the station one time. We went to Night Shift Brewery over in Melrose. And Jones was in like a dunk tank, you know, where you like throw the ball and they fall into the tank. It was him and DJ Bean were the guys that you could dunk. I got there too late to dunk Jones, which really bummed me out. So I dunked DJ Bean a bunch of times. Keith was there. It was a good time. We had a good time. But that was the only time we ever hung out. And you and I, in 2 weeks, basically, have already hung out as many times as Jones and I did in the 5 years.
And definitely for a longer duration.
Definitely. And I got way drunker with you. It did at Night Shift that
day. It tends to happen.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say, like, that's not going to fly going forward. You're going to be out of show hangouts. This is going to I know you guys both have children, and I have a dog, mm-hmm. which is basically the same thing.
Same thing.
So it's just either that or I'm going to hang out with your wives. So deal with it.
Yeah. By the way, I'm an idiot. Idle Hands, not Night Shift. Idle Hands is where
Idle
it
Hands.
And it's over in Malden, not in Melrose.
Wow.
Other than that, I got a completely
different story. You could watch the end of Whiplash.
Yeah, I could do that.
Do that tonight.
And then what do I do after that?
You'll probably want to run through a brick wall is what you're going to want to do because it's like one of the best endings of a movie ever.
I thought the first episode of The Last of Us was as good as everybody has said it.
Oh, The Last of Us. I could start that. Except I never played the game, though.
Neither did I.
You think I played the game? I watched it.
Yeah?
I liked it.
Yeah.
Liked it?
It's not. I don't think you have to know about the video game it's based on to understand the show.
Okay.
I thought it was all right. Like, I'm not that into
zombie show.
Like, well, I just feel like end of the world kind of stories.
Oh, that's my bad.
It used to be. There's just been so many of them, and then there was COVID, and I'm just like, you know what? And it's just like not really. I'd rather watch a White Lotus or something like that. You know,
something a little
more comedic.
Yeah. This year's White Lotus was terrific.
Yeah.
Everyone wanting more.
A mix of like drama and dark comedy. Like, I can't wait for Succession to come back. When Succession comes back, I'm going to talk about that a lot. So everyone's going to have to live with it.
All right. I like Italian prostitutes singing piano songs. That's my favorite. That's my genre. That's the genre that I enjoy, and that's why White Lotus was bellissimo this year.
So you're saying you you wouldn't want to watch me go live on Twitch around 8:15 and play horror games tonight, because that's what I'm going to be doing with my off time.
I'll watch you on Twitch. I'll watch you on Twitch tonight.
Twitch.tv/yo_mota.
All right.
Playing scary games.
What game?
I just finished. So on your recommendation, I finished The Stanley Parable, which was not scary.
It's a tough one,
but
right?
Yeah. Very, very funny, very creative. I just wrapped up Alien Isolation, which was terrifying at points, boring at other. And now I'm playing The Evil Within 2.
All right.
I've never even heard of any of these.
I don't know any
That's
of
why
either.
You should watch Twitch.tv.
I'll watch my guy tonight.
Mota.
There's no games to watch. You might as well watch something. All right. Ryan Garvin, what's the time for?
Oh, it is time for the almost end of the show, if I can read my sponsor here, which is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Do not waste time getting rid of your older broken car. Stop it. Cars for Kids is the easiest and fastest way to donate your car and get a tax deduction, not a reduction. Go to carsforkids.org today. That's cars with a K. I have some things that I would like to touch at the almost end of the show, but I would like to cede some of my time to Mego that sent out an interesting little video earlier this morning about, was it Andy Murray?
Yeah, Andy Murray, the tennis player. I don't follow tennis that much, but this jumped out to me because I thought it was funny and also...
Not Andy Murray, the plumber.
Pretty ridiculous.
Right.
This was in Melbourne. So was this, I don't know, it was the Australian Open? Some tennis tournament.
It's a big tennis thing.
Yeah, and he was real mad because he didn't get to have his bathroom break, and it was like 3 a.m. there when he was playing.
Do you know something? I respect the rules. It's so disrespectful that the tournament has us out here until 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and we're not allowed to go and take a It's a joke. It is a joke. And you know it as well.
Yeah, that is a...
It's disrespectful to you, it's disrespectful to the ball children, it's disrespectful to the players. And we're not allowed to go to the toilet. Ridiculous.
Difficult point, well made. Don't think there's going to be anyone arguing there.
Disrespectful.
Very polite, Judge.
Need to go to the toilet.
You've disrespected my bowels, sir.
It's disrespectful.
My bowels are in an uproar. With all the disrespect.
4 a.m, I want to go to the toilet.
Andy Murray, he's just British, right? I think Andy Murray's a sir, by the way. I think he's Sir Andy Murray.
Ah.
But he sounded like something else, didn't he? I know it wasn't the greatest audio, but like he almost sounded like Middle Eastern in that clip.
I thought he
sounded
Scottish there.
Maybe Scott, maybe it was a little bit of that, too.
Those
sound
alike, Scottish and Middle Eastern.
Oh, yeah, basically the same thing.
So that wasn't the only thing that I saw this yesterday, and I'm fascinated by how this could possibly turn out. So we're all familiar with, of course, Bill Walton. Bill Walton usually ends up doing some college basketball games, and he's either with Bill Pash or Jason Benetti, and it's always an experience. Well, this caught my eye. Apparently, Bill Walton is going to be getting his own alternate broadcast on NBA League Pass. He was talking to the Post, I believe the Washington Post, about this. Quote, "We've got the NBA intergalactic platform. We've got the world's greatest basketball players. We've got the business. We've got the entertainment." By the way, as let me just get some appropriate music here, if I may. Oh, there we go. Do you guys know what this is?
This sounds like the Dead.
This is Bill Walton's Electric Waste Band.
Oh.
Which, of course, he is a very famous Deadhead. He plays bongos. But I am overly intrigued at what a Bill Walton broadcast will sound like. He will be joined by Jason Benetti and just some
Poor
of the
guy.
Weird. Well, I mean, after you've been working with Bill Walton for a while, I think you know what to expect.
Camping World Maui Invitational. We thank you for joining us with America's psychedelic sweetheart, Bill Walton. Bill, you've gone tie-dye for the second half.
As we celebrate the greatness of the Asheville area, please note that at the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, they have more than 3,000 species of fungi, courtesy of the Asheville Mushroom Club.
And I've eaten every single one of them in trip balls.
Coming stronger and stronger as the winter moves into Asheville here. We've just been blessed by outstanding basketball, and we're really just getting started, even though the clocks are running late.
I predict there will not be 1 second where Bill Walton will not be talking. Bill Walton is actually the most famous person I have ever hung up on in radio because he called Glenn on his last day, and I had to hang up because he would have just kept talking. I felt
Won't
bad.
Stop, yeah.
He was very nice, but again, it's going
to
be a lot of...
You know how you like to make noises when you're calling a game and
It's the ducks you like to quack or the wildcats you like to, whatever it is you do. So how about you go ahead and give us a noise for each XFL team.
Dragons, breathing fire. Defenders, yes. The Trojans providing the protection against whatever is going to come your way. The Battlehawks.
That's the worst impression of a Battlehawk I've ever heard in my life. That dragon wasn't so great either, I got to say. I don't think this thing's going to last long.
No, I think what's
going... I don't think America's craving this. I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't know that they want this much Bill Walton.
I want it!
I'm ready. I think it'll be like, the first time will be a lot of fun, and then I think it's just going to get kind of weird and repetitive.
More than 350 species of birds live right here in the Santa Cruz Valley in the Ring of Fire in the Sonoran Desert.
Okay, thank you, Bill. And that, of course, brings us to the end of the show. Quick programming notes. I believe all the Saturday shows tomorrow, including Christian Arcan 1 to 4, are going to be up at Winter Weekend. Producer show, once again, has been moved to Sunday. Shime and myself will be on from 9 to 10 instead of our normal 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. shift. And, of course, we are always followed by Rich Keefe, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m.
All right, stay tuned. Rich Keefe coming up next. Want to say thanks to Jared Weiss. For Megan Ottolini, I'm Christian Arcan. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Mego and I will talk to you tomorrow, or not tomorrow, but on Monday at 2. Stay tuned for Rich Keefe. We're out of here. Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.